Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Binge Town TV. Today, we're here with me, Kathleen, and Julia to talk about Survivor Season 46, Episode 4, titled Don't Touch the Oven.
Don't touch it.
We're coming from an episode with no tribal previously into a no vote tribal of this episode. It's taxing me. I'm trying to choose love here, Julia. But even on my rewatch, I was just like, this is pretty damn boring. I know at the end of the episode, we are praying for a tribe swap. And we don't get any indication of that. Like, two tribes of seven would be excellent now. But that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So
yeah,
hate to start it off so negatively. But Jewel, what do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, honestly, how dare you? I'm thinking about, I didn't even realize until you said that last week, like, this is double whammy of, like, really not a proper tribal council. Jeff has still not gotten to say, like, it's time to vote.
Yeah.
I think he's going to freeze. I think he's going to, like, absolutely just shit the bed when it comes to an actual tribal. He's not going to know what to do. He's like, he's lost all.
He doesn't remember how to be a host.
No, he doesn't. Because these absolute psychos aren't allowing him to host. They've taken the show into their own hands, quite literally.
We need to cast people who have never seen Survivor before. Cast 18 people who have never seen Survivor before.
I disagree.
Okay, tell me why.
I've been doing a lot of thinking on casting as a topic because it comes up, and I saw Kathleen before we went on air that in light of this week's episode and us kind of not feeling like we had anything really to latch onto besides the Banu story, which we've been talking about incessantly for weeks now.
Right.
I listened to some coverage to, like, try to get a little bit of inspiration. I listened to some other podcasts, try to, like, see what everyone else is talking about. And it's always casting. Well, it's a couple things. It's the format, which we've got some people on the Discord discussing as well, discording on as well.
Yes.
And how that feels a little bit repetitive. But I think the casting for sure is obviously the piece of, I mean, you can have all the rules in place, but if you don't have the right game players or the right mix of different types of game players, it can be a wash. So I was waffling a little bit on, like, is Banu a good cast for this season? He's a self-proclaimed, he's an alleged super fan.
Alleged.
He's an alleged super fan and not good at playing the game. I think I can say that without people really coming for my neck.
I think
not
he
good
watched
at Survivor.
45 seasons of Survivor and didn't learn one thing.
No. But I think he was also a good cast because now I'm, like, sitting here being like, all right, well, who's our hero? Who's the main story? Like, who is this going to shift to? And granted, there could be some amazing personality out there. Like, I can't wait to get more of Tevin. I can't wait to get more of Sadasia. I think that they did a good job. It can't all just be the game bots, right? It can't all be people who are just, like, machines.
True.
Like, they were trying to turn Banu into. They were trying so hard to make him Optimus Prime Banu by the end of it. Just like, yes, coach.
See, no, I disagree.
What do I say, coach?
I disagree. I think Banu was an okay cast. Of course, he was good TV. They gave him too much. I've seen multiple tweets being like, Banu in four episodes got more talking heads than, say, Parvati got in Micronesia. And spoiler alert, she makes it to the end of Micronesia. So how is that possible that she got more talking heads than a finalist? I won't spoil it fully. A finalist of Micronesia, you know? So I think they gave him too much power over the first four episodes. And they put too much stock in people thinking they were going to enjoy this Banu.
Oh, yeah.
Survivor to watch Survivor, not to watch someone devolve in front of our eyes.
No.
This episode was, like, a true roller coaster of him, like, one last shebang of him being like, I'm up, I'm down, I'm a fucking puppet. And then he's like, I'm vibing, we're all vibing. And then he's like, they don't care about me at all. And it was crazy. And I think that Hugh teaching him was the most intriguing part of the episode. And I think that Banu being like, they're treating me like a puppet. It's like, no, they're trying to help you get through this game.
Yeah.
I've heard it both ways.
No, I mean, they would have liked him to have become a robot and like their soldier to say whatever they wanted him to say. I agree with you that like this is not why people are coming to Survivor. But I think that what we're seeing out of Banu, what we've gotten out of Banu, is why a lot of people come to reality TV just as a blanket statement.
Agreed.
Unhinged people just going off. I was so fascinated by those last two beats of the episode. I mean, I skipped Tribal on my second watch because I was like, I know what happens. But
yeah.
The beat right before Tribal where he's like running around the beach. He's trying to find an idol. He's getting down on his knees, begging to tip. She's having to talk to him like he's a child. Like, get up off. I'm not going to talk to you until you're standing. Like
yeah. That,
this was so fascinating stuff for me. I watched it twice and I made Peter watch it because I was like, watch this man.
It's just so interesting because he's calling to God. He's blaming God fully for not being able to give him an idol. And it's okay. He's acting like this is the worst thing that ever happened. It's an absolute tragedy when he himself voted Jelinski and Jess off two episodes prior. You know, like he had already voted people off. People from his team had already gone. Like he's acting like he's first out. Everyone was immediately mean to him. It's like, no, this is the fourth episode. You've been on a downward trend. You've been spiraling the entire time. You know, Kenzie, even though I don't think she quote unquote snapped at him, I think she was trying to help him. He helped him. And then he wanted more coaching and asked Kenzie. And Kenzie was like, can I sit here for 1 second? And by her saying that, he went on another spiral. And because I think people think Kenzie is like a mean girl. And I'm like, she has empathy enough to be like, let me go stop him from spiraling. Because she could have easily been like, he's going home tonight. I don't care if he's spiraling in the woods. Like, whatever. She goes, what can I do to help? And he's like, do you have an idol? Can you help me find an idol?
Like,
why would I help you find it? We're voting you out tonight. And then he goes to Tiff and is sobbing on the ground. And it was giving me the ick. I'm sorry. It's not for me.
Could not tear my eyes away from it.
Yeah. It's good watch. It's not good gameplay. It's just
someone
evolving on TV, which is always fun to watch. But it's been four straight episodes of that, really. So
agreed. So on fire, Jeff Probst.
Yeah, what are they saying?
Well, I mean, you know, he likes to. Here I am talking about Jeff. He likes to give reason to everything. And like, I think he thinks that the Banu departure and like this episode was a masterpiece in that it showcased him going through the five stages of grief in this like very condensed period that feels like whiplash and like feels it really was like he was, oh man, he was all over the board. I think that the editors probably had fun splicing those together. Jeff said, like, not that they ever intervene with things, but he basically was like, okay, what are we going to do? What's this going to be like on the beach? And they're like, just let Banu behave. That's what Jeff said. Just let him behave. Behave as he would behave.
It's like, behave badly? Behave.
No, in- just behave.
Just be.
Let him have behavior. He's experiencing behavior.
That's actually a 10 out of 10 phrase. Because usually just like, just let him be. No. Let him behave.
Let him behave. Enter in the blank. And again, it's like child. Like he calls himself a child man, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
It's really sad, but I couldn't tear my eyes away from the screen. And I am also at the same time so happy that he's gone. So I have a lot of feelings as well. I myself am experiencing the five stages of grief, I think.
I mean, listen, I think I'll look back fondly on the Banu of it all. I just think that I know I've been harsh, but having to podcast on Banu for four episodes straight is not fun. You don't want to be mean. I feel like we've been scooting around being harsh about it because we're nice people. We're on a podcast and these are real people. And then, you know, by the fourth episode, I've thrown caution to the wind.
Right. We're no longer talking about Survivor. We're talking about Banu season 46, episode 4.
Banu season one. I think we bring Jelinski back.
I miss him.
Switch Jelinski out for Randon's exit. And, you know, the funky thing is, if the Randon thing didn't happen, Kenzie would have gone home, which is crazy to think
about.
That's
the thing. That's the miracle.
That is the miracle. I so enjoyed the Tiff and Kenzie conversation. The My favorite thing about the Banu thing is that it's causing little moments of other players having to roll their eyes and be mean in a bit when they're like, he should have just gone camping. Like, why? If he wanted to do Survivor and like fake play Survivor, he should have just gone camping. And if you want to go win a million hearts, you should volunteer somewhere. Like,
amazing.
Don't play Survivor.
Amazing. I won't forget him anytime soon.
Why do you think that he told the three of them what he said to Liz and Ben? Like, why?
Because
that's the thing
know.
That triggered this whole thing.
One of his principles is honesty. Yet he chose to sign up for a game that is based on deception.
True.
I don't know if he thought that going into that and playing a different kind of game, a different style or different approach. I don't even think you could call this an approach. I think he's just unfiltered. Like, it's just him. He's not, the thoughts come in, they roll out of his mouth. Like, he's not really applying a strategic filter to anything he's saying.
No, I'll just say Banu for Traitor season 3. Let's see how he can
stop it. You better stop. Someone, one of the podcasts I was listening to, I can't give credit, I forget who it was, but it was saying that if they were to do a season that was like head versus heart, where people who are like really very like logical based versus people who are playing extremely emotionally, if they were to, I don't think they're going to do any theme seasons anymore, but it would be so psychotic. I would watch, I would be on the edge of my seat.
No, they're not doing themes because Jeff doesn't want us to have any fun or any joy.
No, he doesn't. No joy.
None.
No joy.
Okay, now that we've gone through the Banu stuff and I was mean, I can actually say in the lens of like watching Survivor, I'm like, I don't really feel bad. But in general, like as a human being and the fact that he loved this game and could not play it at all and was just like his emotions were getting the best of him, I do feel bad in that sense. I feel bad for like what he wished his Survivor experience was going to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think that he, if you were to ask him on the street, like, did you enjoy Survivor? Did you have a good experience?
He'd do the jest. He's like, well, when I'm not thinking about it, I'm not. It's like, oh, I don't regret it when I'm not thinking about it entirely. When I get a lobotomy and erase Survivor out of my brain, I'm not regretting it at all.
It's like a hypnosis. Someone says Survivor and he's like, we're all vibing.
Yeah,
we're all vibing.
Yeah,
like, yeah, it's like what is that called when you like you have like a secret word that like snaps you into a trance?
I forget, but yes. But yes,
that's what Q did to him.
Hey, I'm very excited for these three to then have to take on everyone.
I
really think that two teams of seven, because we have 14 people left now. Or is it 15? We went 18.
We have 3, 4, and 14. 5. So do those maths for me.
18, 17, 16.
15. No, I want you to add.
Yeah, we have 14.
3 plus 4 is 7.
7.
Plus 6. Wait, what the fuck?
No, 3 plus 5. No.
5.
3,
3
plus
5 and 6.
5 and then 6. So yeah, 14. So it could be two tribes of 7, mix them up entirely. Like obviously they can pull rocks or whatever, but they need to completely restart this game from scratch.
Someone comes in and it's not Jeff. It's like the Australian host.
It's like, you know, football seasons or like when they get fired like mid-season because they can't win any games and they just bring in, it's like the offensive coach, they just bring in like the cameraman to do it for the rest of the fucking I know about sports.
They make Dr. Will come in and he's like trying to run the challenges. If you were to like make up a tribe of seven right now, who's on it? The craziest, kookiest, badookiest.
We should have done this. My thing about it is I want to switch literally everyone. So I want to separate Q and Tiff and I'll put Kenzie with Q instead of with Tiff. Okay.
Love it.
That's the split. Then I'll go with Siga. I want to split up Charlie and Maria. I want to split up all the
care,
people.
Do you care who they go with?
No, I want to split up Tevin and Hunter as well. And then the rest can just kind of be mixy mixies. I want to put Soda with
Soda?
Hunter, though, because Hunter is driven crazy by Sadasia, which I love. And then, you know, Jem. Let's put Jem and Tiff on the same team because they both have the idols. Well,
yeah, that's
Jem
what I was going to say.
Yet. Jem doesn't have it yet. And then Randon went home with it, so no one on Nami has it. So put Liz and Mariah on the same team because I just want to see them sit next to each other.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're forgetting Tim
and Ben.
And Ben. Yeah. So let me see, because I want to make this kind of like equal. We got to get two guys here. So they got to get split.
What's the strength looking like? I want to make this as even as possible. Hunter is such a crazy good game player that we need to put some skillful people on the other side.
I have to split up Liz and Mariah, unfortunately, unless you want to make a little.
No, okay. No, that's OK. It really doesn't matter because this isn't.
Are you sure?
Either it way, could I just want something interesting to happen and something to switch and someone's plans to be foiled.
Yeah.
Something that was interesting as we move to another team. Like, let's move to Nami. I thought the Tevin wanting to turn on Soda was insanely interesting. Finally, like insanely interesting as it can be. I'm saying insanely. It really wasn't. But
it's really not insane.
No, it's not insane at all. But it's insane for this season. It's finally something that is happening.
I see it both ways. I am like a walking contradiction when we get this mic on. I'm like, I like it this way, but like this thing, I hate it this way.
Yeah, I agree myself.
Here's what I'm going to say. I think it's interesting to watch Tevin have a connection with Soda, but also recognize that they are kind of occupying the same social butterfly space and there can only be one.
Yep.
Interesting to watch.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think it's a little premature to be starting to talk about those conversations. My approach would be like, let's keep our numbers high so that we have majority going into the merge. Like, I'm not going to start picking people off of my own tribe.
You mean like Tevin, Soda, and Hunter are a solid three. So why pick off a third?
Yeah.
They would just recruit Liz and they don't care about Venus. They'll get Venus out next. But like, who knows if they'll ever even lose pre-merge because, again, Hunter is so fucking good at these challenges. But
my God, he's the robot.
I totally understand what you're saying. I think that just they think Soda is just too dangerous. Like, they don't want her to make the merge at all. Once the merge comes, she's going to forge like bonds and possibly fuck them over. And Sega is the team that has the majority. So like, either way, if Sega stays Sega strong, quote unquote, then they'll have more numbers. They'd rather just like get the threats out now versus having to do it at the merge when it's that much harder.
So let's talk about Sega Strong because it's, again, interesting to watch Jem play this hard this early on, but not a move I would make when I can go into the merge with majority, hopefully, fingers crossed. They keep not losing entirely. But to create this, like, kind of planting the seed of doubt and, like, creating a little bit of animosity, I like that she's like, I'm having fun. This is what's sort of, like, I'm glad she's enjoying herself. And I'm enjoying watching it because it's going to be a little bit crazy. But as far as gameplay, what do you think?
I think the only reason the Beware advantage was maybe not a great move is because a lot of times the Beware advantage is, you know, you got to go to the tribe flag, you got to decode the message, you got to do all these things and go to different parts of the island and find something. Whereas this specific Beware advantage is like, dig and find the box, and there was no box, so it's automatically like somebody moved it. But I think all in all, Jem wanted it to seem like somebody moved it. I think that was her final thing. I don't think she wanted it to be like Maria found it, she's on a wild goose. I don't know. Do you think she just wanted someone to be on a wild goose chase? Now they're immediately thinking, oh, somebody rehid this. Or do you think ultimately she wanted someone to be like, someone planted this, and then she could pin it on Ben or Tim, which is what's happening?
If that is the case, the latter, the narrative we got did not point to her logic in thinking that through all the way to saying, I really, like, let's say we're getting confessionals of her being like, everyone seems to be getting along with Tim, but I just don't get a good feeling for him. I need to start to sow some seeds of doubt in like him, his character or whatever. Like, let's try to put a target on his back because he's coming for me or something like that. If we got some of that, and then she could tease out that I'm putting this here so that I can hopefully try to say that it was Tim that found the actual Beware and is replanting it and like stringing us all along. But I think she just did it to like create chaos. I don't think she did it with like a plan that. After that.
I don't.
It's interesting, but in a game where there's so much you can't control, I can't imagine wanting to relinquish this like out into the rest of the tribe to take into their own hands. Like, what was the thing? Wasn't there something like this on season with Danny? He did that thing with the birdcage, but wasn't there something that he did that was like...
In 44, there was a lot of fake idols and things like that, but people just were getting voted out with fake idols in
Carolyn
their pockets.
Carolyn did it. She like made a Y somewhere.
Oh,
remember?
The X. Or an X. He made the like red X. Yeah.
Yeah.
It like worked though.
It did. But like, again, that's, you're taking such a risk to give up so much control in a place that you really are grasping for any control. Like you, it just seems...
She's flying a little too close to the sun, Gem is, but
yeah.
I don't mind it because it's more interesting to watch because Sika hasn't been interesting to watch at all.
Sure.
The only thing like that's happening with Sika is we get Maria's backstory and her failing at the challenge and then this thing. So it's all they have. So I'm willing to.
And they're jumping.
Oh, well. The jumping was took over our night. We took
it was
the
inspiring.
Entire commercial break to do jumping competitions after we saw Mariah couldn't jump.
Because I said, how hard can it be? And you did a jump that honestly to me did not look that good. And then I did a jump. I looked around and said, like, how was that? And Alex was like, that was the same.
Yeah. Well, jumping isn't easy to jump.
She
really
was the best
high.
Jumper.
Alex was the best jumper. But
she was the best jumper.
The thing is, Mariah was just flicking her legs back. She wasn't jumping. She was just flicking her legs back constantly. It's like, bend your knees and jump. But no one needs to just bunny hop, jump. Like, you're hopping over something. You're jumping. Like, it's a leap. It's not a jump. Even on the challenge they thought it was going to be, you're just leaping. You're not jumping. You don't you don't need to jump straight up and grab a bar and pull yourself up. It's like, you don't need to be able to jump high. You just leap.
You kind of let gravity do its thing, baby.
I liked that part just because we were like, you jump? You know how to jump?
We like looked around the room like, can everyone here jump? And we could. We could. Everyone
she
there
and I
could
dance.
Jump.
Well, she's much better dancer than me, but we
did a shanshma,
paid for dance class. Our parents paid for dance classes for 15 years of our lives. And then
our parents paid to help us learn how to jump. Okay.
Yes. We know how to fuck.
And that was money well spent. All right.
It was. For this specific reason. I would have been so embarrassed. She made it seem like she was like, my friend said, you're going to have to tell them. It's you.
I know. I thought she was like, my feet can't leave the ground. Like, I was waiting for her to just be like glued, like absolutely stuck.
I kind of love her. I don't have any reasons why. The Misty Quigley of it all. I just kind of love her. Like, I love her.
Sure.
And I think I love Liz, too. I think I'm going to stick with the twins.
With each passing day, they grow more and more distinct, obviously, because we're getting to know them. But I'm like, how did you guys ever think that they looked like?
It was just in the bio era, because in the bio era, they both have like kind of like reddish, not really hair, curly, same length, buffs on their heads.
Buffs on their heads.
Glasses. So it's like when you don't know them at all, you're like, those two are kind of similar.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let me just go ahead and say I finally, on week 4, didn't
like
get
Liz.
Knocked out of my pool.
Oh.
No, I've always liked Liz.
Oh, I liked her in this episode a lot.
Yeah, I was shocked when
not
she said.
Not a lot, I take that. Scratch that. Honestly, delete that part. It's
We've
not a lot.
We've been saying such hyperbolous things, specifically me. I'm like, that was fucking insane. I'm like, well, it wasn't. I don't know why I said that.
No, it wasn't.
Like, I love Liz. No.
Like, I'm obsessed with Liz. I cannot get enough of her. No, scratch that. Scratch it. She's fine. But like, I don't know. They painted such a different picture of her in my head with this like nonsense about her making all this money and stuff. And now I'm like, she kind of seems like a normal chick.
She was saying wacky things in the beginning, but I feel like in the beginning, you're nervous. You're trying to like, talk to these people, tell them about yourself. You're on camera for the first time ever, probably, and you're just like spouting things that are stupid. So,
yeah, I guess.
Yeah. But I was surprised that Liz hopped right on the soda thing. I wasn't sure which way she was going to go when Tevin first pitched it. And then she was just like, sounds great. That's good for me.
She's like, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Cut her throat, slit her throat.
Let's quick go over the challenges. The reward challenge as one. Finally, Yanu won one, which was nice to see. It wasn't as like, emotional like last year when Emily, Caleb, Sabaya, and Sean had finally won something. for the first time. It was like a reward challenge, maybe. They were like weeping. And that felt nice. Like,
was
I remember
that the moment where Emily was like really she was really weeping.
Yeah.
Because I loved that.
Well, there was multiple moments where Emily like really
weep.
We don't have any of that. Last season, I feel like there were great moments. Like,
I miss those.
Margaret texted us saying when like
sister-in-law to the pod.
Sister-in-law to me as well, to the pod, texted us being like, I'm like weeping at Emily getting the margarita.
We're not there yet. Auction. That is so far along in the season, though. That's true. Auction territory.
True. I think now that Bonu's gone, we're going to be able to get to know these people more and it's going to be nice.
Yes.
But yes, let's get back. So the reward was fish. Mm-hmm. Yanu wins, but they trade for tarp and tools. It's so interesting because if there was a tribe swap, do they get to take the extra tarp and the tools? And how do they split that? Know what I mean?
Golly, I don't know.
Also, in other seasons I've seen, they're like eating raw fish. And part of me was like, maybe they should have just eaten that raw fish instead of getting the tarp and stuff. But maybe that's stupid. But
I don't know. I mean, it really sucks this whole, again, this will not be the first place that you hear this if you listen to Survivor coverage. And it won't be the last. People are talking about this out their rear ends.
Okay.
Give them Flint.
Yes.
It doesn't add anything to the story. It doesn't make us enjoy or feel any differently. Like, we don't care. So just give them.
Let them make a fucking fire. And also, making fire can be okay TV. People fall in fires. People do goofy things.
Well, people throw hats in fires.
People throw hats in fires. But in general, it's like people get really frustrated trying to make fires. If someone's like really good at making fire, people clock that and are like, I don't want to make fire against that person.
Yeah.
Like, you got to like give people a chance because making fire can play a gigantic part in this game later on. Mm-hmm. So think about last season when Austin's like, let me do the fire. And he's like, I know he's great at fire. I'm not letting him go in there and act like a champ.
Snaps his fingers and fire comes.
Exactly. So, but like, if you don't give people a chance to actually do it, and I don't know, it's just like making fire is Survivor. So give them the fucking Flint.
Yeah. It's also their like TV. They're like staring at it like,
yeah.
It's like their Shane entertainment.
Shane and his Blackberry.
Oh my
Ross.
God. Yes. Wait. Okay. Since we spoke, I have finished. No, I haven't. I have the finale, but I really don't like watching the finale. I like just Googling who wins.
And she did Google who won Panama.
And I did, in fact, do this. By all intents and purposes, I have finished Panama season 12. Shane, with his BlackBerry entertainment, he needed entertainment. He needed to communicate with people off the island.
He was like giggling and me and like,
oh, God. See, but okay, and this brings me back to, I was watching Panama and I was like, I know this is a beloved season. I know Ceri is a beloved character. I love her myself. I think, the season was really enjoyable. But to me, the thing I'm going to remember is Wackadoodle Shane.
Yeah.
So who's to say that like we get to Survivor season 83 and I'm still thinking about Banu. And for that reason alone, I think he was a good cast.
I don't think he was a bad cast. I think they just gave him too much. But again, how are you not going to show all the things he was doing? I guess the ultimate thing
when
with
you're
Banu,
giving that much.
The ultimate thing with Banu is now that we know that he's an actor, quote unquote, and like his Instagram is him dancing and being like, you know, really goofy and wild and free and this and that.
Wild and free.
Do we think that any of this was like him putting on a character?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right.
Here's my other thought about Banu. In my rewatch, I was like, who is he reminding me of with like Q trying to train him and doing this like role play of being like, so Banu, tell me, who's getting along at camp? And he's like, we're all just vibing. I'm like, this like rote memorization that they're giving him of like, okay, here's your word, vibing. You just keep saying vibing. I'm like, this is turning into like some fucking Ramsay Bolton Theon.
Whoa. Damn.
I was like, this feels like it was
that's
like
scary.
Getting there for like he was like, yes, I'm Reek and I am vibing with everyone. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah.
OK, that's why you were saying like robot. Like,
yes,
he's like, getting programmed in his.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's like PTSD and
that's my take. It was interesting, but it was like really hard to watch because it was like the reprogramming of a mind.
To me, he needed it. It's like he didn't do any prep on what his game plan was going to be, how he was going to act, like what alliances he was going to build. Like the whole episode, he's like, nobody ever talks to me about strategy. Nobody. I was like, they were trying to help you. And then you're saying you're a puppet. And then you're saying you're vibing and everything's cool. And then Kenzie was mean and now you're mad and upset again. And he's untrainable. So, and I'm not saying train in a bad way. I'm just saying train in a way that's like, you got to prep for Survivor. You can't just come in and YOLO it.
How does one prep like social? How does one prep social and prep strategy?
Well, exactly.
Tell me.
I think you can prep strategy, but you can't fully prep social if you are as like wear your heart on your sleeve and are that emotional like Bana. You just can't.
So are you saying then that people who are like that might be unwinnable? Unwinnable?
No, because I think while Bana and Carolyn are completely different people, like she's the one fair. I think about who is wearing her heart on her sleeve, would tell you straight to your face what was going on. But she was smart and she had strategy. She just was really like outward with everything she was feeling and not scared to kind of be like, fuck you almost.
Yeah.
I liked that about her. She just had a little more fight in her and a little more grit than Banu does. And I think Carolyn should have won that season personally.
Oh, me too.
Like I loved
me
Jam
too.
Jam, but I think that was Carolyn's season to win. So Wackadoodles can win and should win, but I've only seen like 15 or 16 seasons, so I'm trying to rack my brain of winners I've seen to say like who's the wackadoodles. I don't even think I can think of one off the top of my head. None of them, honestly.
Right. Like I think to be able to make it as far in Survivor, you have to have some sort of restraint and level-headedness to be able to know when it makes sense to apply that restraint and when it's okay to be emotional.
Yes. You know what? Let's end the Banu conversation by talking about the hug from Jeff.
Aww.
Yeah. Does he never hugs people, right?
No.
We were like, oh.
Who initiated it? I didn't rewatch Tribal, so like who initiated it?
I feel like Banu probably, right? Banu probably made like a little like inch in and Jeff
jerked
just went
at him.
Jeff like really loves these people these days. Like when I was rewatching during the reward, Ben comes in and is like, Jeff, like jokingly, like in a fun, like, so he's like, yeah, Jeff, like walking in or something. And Jeff's like, all right. Like, I think he just like loves these kids being like wacky. I'm calling Ben a kid. He's probably older than me. I don't know.
His
Ben
kids.
Is,
but... Well, they're Jeff. They're kids to Jeff. They're Jeff's kids.
Exactly. They're his offspring. They're his little moneymakers.
Little moneymakers. You're my little moneymaker, Banu. Here's something that's going to make Jeff some money. You're not going to believe this.
Tell me.
Jeff licensed Soda's and Tevin's song.
No.
Yes. He got them proper. Well, I think they already had it, but like he had said on his podcast that because it's an original song that they sang, accompanied by original music that a composer wrote, they had to get them like the proper accreditations to be like singer songwriters, and now they have that song licensed.
Well, what about Justice for Four Steps Down?
That's what I'm saying.
Sifu and Jemima found dead because they didn't have the licensing to live.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't because Jeff wouldn't give it to them.
Doesn't make any fucking sense, but okay. All right, Jeff.
I'm not shitting you. Jeff
You're
is
not shitting
to start,
me.
He's trying to make an album now. He is.
I'm slowly shaking my head.
And I'm buying it.
All right. Well, what else do you have on this episode? Anything? I need them to step it up. I need it to be stepped up.
I know. I do as well. We were all like a little bit disappointed. What happens on the next week on? Anything
I
can sitting around?
It's not a merge, I'll tell you that. It's not a try.
I know, yeah.
My final thought is that Venus being Cinderella and sweeping the dirt while Tevin and Sadasia are licensing their song.
I know, and she's not going to see a single dime.
No. What were they going to do?
Dancer.
With the backup dancer and like, that's an instrument.
And the like set design. Like she was like cleaning their set.
She is set deck.
Yeah. I don't know what they're all these people need justice.
Justice for Venus. Justice for Venus. We didn't say her name one time this episode.
Venusrella.
And that's a shame for Venusrella.
Should we say everyone's name? We did say everyone's name because I said everyone's name when we were putting together our
March Madness Survivor.
Let's say them again once more. You say one and I'll say one.
All the people's names until we're
why
out?
Not?
All
why
right.
not? You remember anybody?
Yeah, I can. Tiff.
Ben.
Kenzie.
Liz.
Hugh.
Mariah.
Sedasia.
Maria.
Kevin.
Charlie.
Hunter.
Venus. And there you go. That was our segment. I already said Ben. That was our segment called Name Everybody.
We're doing that for the rest. We're doing that for the rest. We're not. For sure. Okay. I think we're going to have to end there. We knew this episode was going to be, we watched the episode at the end of it. We said, what the fuck are we going to talk about on this podcast?
You know what? Bullshit in, bullshit out.
Yeah. Bullshit in, bullshit out. Do better. Don't say something like that. All right. See you later. No, I'm kidding. We'll be back for episode 5. Hopefully we'll have higher energy and, well, not higher energy. I feel like our energy is high. We just need more positive energy, choosing actual love. And, you know, without Banu, might be a whole new game. People will get much more screen time now that Banu won't be monopolizing.
Banu comes back as the host.
Banu's the new host. Yeah. If you want to chat and commiserate with us or correct us or whatever, go to our Discord. It'll be in the link in the bio. You can come chat about the episodes as they're happening or after or during the week, whatever. Yeah, we'd love to hang. And we are Binge Town TV. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.